Everything is connected, and I'm here to tell you how. I'm Dr. Laura Hansen with Connect My Brain. This podcast is for moms who are concerned about their child's development. The brain impacts our mind, body, and overall health. I explain how your brain is wired, what happens when it's out of balance, and how early childhood development not only impacts your child, but can affect you as an adult years later. Want to know how to improve your life? Join me and learn about your amazing brain and what it can do for you. Hi, everybody. It's Dr. Laura with Connect My Brain. So glad that you're tuning in. So I'm going to do a little bit of a episodes, if you want to call it. I really want to talk about care plans. What does that really mean? And I'm going to break it down, mechanical, chemical brain. So in today's episode, we're going to really talk about the body. And when somebody is giving you a care plan about what you need to do to help your body and why it is so important that you follow it. And then the next one, we're going to do it on the chemistry. This is going to be probably a little long, and it may even go into two, because chemistry has everything to do with diet, has to do with the state of health that you're in, has to do with your history. And of course, I'm always going to make the comparison between child and adult, probably heavier on the child side. But it really is important to understand how things really do accumulate over time. And therefore, they're going to take time in order to change the terrain. Then the third part's going to be on the brain. And if we don't include the brain in the equation, we have to really understand that the human body is a feedback mechanism. And that feedback mechanism lays down connections. You've heard me say over and over again, what fires together, wires together. Well, the same thing is true when you're talking about the physical body, and I'll go a little deeper in just a minute. But let's just talk about pain, for example. Pain is a very interesting response, and what it lays down in the brain is it's actually creating a pattern that takes away from your ability to process efficiently. So research talks about for every year that you are in chronic pain, you lose 2.3 cubic centimeters of gray matter. Now you have two kinds of matter in your brain. You have gray and white. Gray is how we process. White's how we get it from one part of the brain to another part of the brain, communicating to the circuits. So the longer you stay in a pattern, and pain is just one. As long as you stay in these patterns, you have to realize that this is actually how your brain got turned on, was by the way that you practiced life as a little person, as a baby. And as you turned on that brain, going from the lower brain to the midbrain to the higher brain, it is that experience that then programs how the brain will interpret the world. So we have to realize this is a structure. The brain is not your mind. The brain is an architect of hubs and modules and circuits. So it responds to what you are going through. And so patterns get laid down. And when these patterns get laid down, They're literally becoming part of you. And it is probably this part why it is so important to realize that we have to have another experience in order to change it. Now, the greatest part about the brain is that it will change. This is that term neuroplasticity. But you have to give it the right stuff. And when you're working with somebody, a provider, somebody like me, and you're trying to accomplish a goal, you have to realize that you did not get to this place immediately. Also, how cooperative are you being to go through the transition in order to make the change? I think one of the hardest parts for me being a provider is oftentimes I get this feeling that people expect me to have a magic wand and I should be able to go poof and whatever the problem is, it's resolved. I really wish God had given me a magic wand. He didn't give me a magic wand, but he did give me insight. And I'm very passionate about what I do and how I look at every individual that I am blessed to serve. And I believe that most providers feel exactly the same way. It's a life work. It's a gift. It's a ministry. It's what you dedicate yourself to. And you work many, many hours in order to figure things out. One of the greatest advantages that I have today as a provider is I get to see a shift in perception. And I do believe it's ever since COVID has hit our world and the truth that has come out about COVID and about the demise of so many people and what the vaccine is actually doing to so many people. If you have not dug into that, I really encourage you to dig and read for yourself. I was just listening to an individual talk about the rise in death and what has happened to the life insurance policy industry and how they're even going to Congress to say how many people we've lost and continue to lose during the vaccination season for COVID, but there's also the possibility that the fentanyl crisis is also tying into that number of deaths. So what we're looking at are two things that could be contributing to the number of deaths that we are seeing. So these are real issues. And I do believe that it's making people open their eyes. And again, this is not medical bashing. It's about you are intelligent and you can look and read information that can help you make the right kind of health decisions for yourself and for your family. But you have to read. You have to listen. You have to go into a different direction so that you can get this information. I think one of the biggest problems in being an alternative healthcare provider, and again, not being given the magic wand, is our healthcare system set us up to believe that, you know, we could take a pill and it would change things. We could have a surgery and it would change things. We could do something very quickly and we could expect a fabulous outcome. Well, after 29 years of being in practice, you have to understand I've seen lots of people that have tried many kinds of medications. I have seen people that have had surgeries that even maybe in the beginning, they got a little bit of relief. But then because that tissue is damaged, it also will be tissue that degenerates quicker than other tissue or tissue that has not received a surgical intervention. I have a very dear friend. I help her all the time with her back issues. And we were talking yesterday because she had a flare-up and she had back surgery a few years ago. But the pain she was experiencing was just so hard for her to go through. And it wasn't going to be something that I could change with one adjustment. I knew it was a disc issue. So a disc is this little cushion that's between your bones. And when it bulges or it swells, it means that the nucleus in the middle has broken through the fibers in the disc that should contain it. And if it breaks through, it has to go somewhere. So where does it go? Outside of the parameters of the bone. And when that happens, it's a feedback mechanism to the brain that says, get off of that soft tissue. So what do? You lean. You lean off of it. But it's not going to go back in one adjustment. This is what I'm talking about with care plans. We have to understand the nature of the problem, and the nature of the problem didn't happen overnight. It might have had a, you know, bucket tipper and then immediate, but it didn't happen overnight unless it was an acute blow that could absolutely do the same thing to the disc. What I found so interesting was she had finally gotten an MRI, which took probably 6 to 7 weeks to get in to get an MRI. Now, I could have sent her for one immediately, but of course, everybody wants to use their insurance. And this is what we're looking at in what we're calling a healthcare system. And people are waiting 6 to 7 weeks. Well, that's a time frame that somebody could actually rupture their disc and now need to have surgery. Okay, anyhow. So I saw her yesterday, as a matter of fact, and I said, well, what did you find out? And she goes, well, I got the report, but the doctor can't talk to me for a month. And I go, what? So you wait 6 to 7 weeks to have the MRI. Then you got to wait another month for somebody to read the report. I said, do you have the report on your phone? Let me look at it. And it was exactly what I said it was. It was from the surgery that either the bone above or the bone below is going to take a greater load. And so now she had a new problem because the surgery fused the initial problem, fused those two bones together. So now either above or below is going to take the stress of whatever the problem originally was. And this is what I'm talking about. Now, it's absolutely your choice what you want to do. This is not about me telling you not to have surgery or not. Please don't misunderstand. But it's about trying to understand that the choices that we make, they impact how your body is going to respond. So trying now to really focus in on understanding care plans, understanding that if you really want to go in another way, you've got to have a number of repetitions that's going to allow your body to go into another way, get the inflammation down. There's that chemical piece, as well as set up a new pattern in the brain. So that's what I want to really focus on over the next few podcasts, is really trying to explain this component. Because I get this all the time where parents are expecting me to take a situation where a child is really going through some struggles and then just turn it around. Now, back to my friend for a second, I had talked to her back even before the MRI. And I had noticed that the shoes that she was wearing had an enormous amount of foam on them, on the bottom. I had recently looked at this for myself. I'm in sneakers 6 days a week for my job, for my work. I don't like to call it a job. And I started to look at, wow, there's a good inch and a half between me and the earth. And so the earth is what grounds us. There's literally a frequency that is a feedback mechanism to your body. All right, let's connect a dot. This is why it's so important for babies to actually lay on their bellies when they're born, after they're born, because it's going to ground their entire little body to the earth. Remember, prior to that, they were living in mom's womb. So now we've got to get that input to this new body and let it begin the process of what do I have to go through in order to stand up in gravity. And that's a huge deal. And I'll break that down in a second. So if my body had an inch and a half between the earth and itself, I'm not keeping myself grounded. Grounded can go in many different directions. It can be the ability for an adult to have stability. It can be the ability for your lower extremities to remain stable and therefore create this cascade of feedback all the way up the legs through the spine to the brain. So I decided to get myself a different pair of shoes, and it did. It made a huge difference. And I made that same recommendation for her because she's on her feet all the time as well. And when I got to see her yesterday, the one thing that had changed, and she's had no other intervention, but the pain in her legs has subsided. So trying a new pair of shoes, getting grounded to earth, feedback over time possibly changed the perception of the brain to what the body was going through to try to hold itself up on 5 lumbar spine joints. So when you look at the frame, you've got 7 cervical joints, you've got 12 thoracic joints, and the thoracic has all the ribs, so that's a lot of bone. But your lumbar spine only has 5 little bones, and then immediately underneath it is a pelvis. So 5 bones holds up the thoracic spine with the ribs, the neck, and the head, and then has to communicate with the pelvis and the legs. That's a huge mechanical piece. Okay? All right. So one little change, several days of wearing different shoes, that's the number of repetitions, possibly lowered the threshold of pain for this individual. Okay, so now let's go back. My original recommendation was that she comes to the office several times a week, has many adjustments, gets on our pulse table, lower the inflammation, and maybe even wear a back brace. She came several days, but I really do believe in her mind that if this was the way to go, she would have seen drastic change in just a few adjustments. And that's just not, it's not possible with a disc. Then there was a very devastating event. One of her family members died, and she lives out of the country. And so she was gone for several weeks. And so sometimes life does get involved, and sometimes it interrupts the care plan. But she did immediately change her shoes. So that's one positive. Not everybody's going to follow my care plan. But I think what really triggered me wanting to talk about this concept is more than just back pain. It's when you've got something going on, especially for your child, and your child has many things that are part of the equation, not just a lack of movement, how many neurofeedback sessions can we do? And did you decide to work with me when it came to the chemistry? So in the arena where I've got children with autoimmune issues, or I have children that have had literally physical trauma and altered development, and it has changed the trajectory of how their body's actually coming together. Sometimes it is going to take more than 5 to 6 months to move the needle in another direction. I think the hardest part of offering a care plan to a parent is their perspective of the healthcare system. And because the model of healthcare that we've lived in, as I mentioned earlier, really believes that all these things can be managed either by medications, surgery, a certain number of OT sessions, PT sessions. And that is just not, that's just not going to do it. So let's take a case and try to explain the mechanical part. And let's pull those pieces together so that we can begin to understand that sometimes it takes time. And sometimes it takes more work on the side of a parent to really understand what it is that you're trying to accomplish. So here's a baby growing in the womb, born by C-section. So that's number one. When a baby is born by cesarean section, you've already changed the mechanical input to the baby. So we're going to kind of think about it as a bucket. And how many things are in my bucket until the bucket tips? And most of it, I think, has to do with lack of awareness and understanding about how things come together, because not a lot of people sit around and talk about this stuff like I do. A baby is supposed to come through the birth canal and get exposed to mom's good bacteria. That is the beginning of the baby's immune system starting to develop. So that's in our bucket. Then let's say mom and dad are so fearful that the baby is going to lay on their face and smother themselves. And because of all the things that have ever been talked about in the world regarding SIDS, sudden infant death syndrome, the way a baby is wired is based on the primitive reflexes. Babies do not put their face down into a bed. Automatically, a baby will, when you go to lay them down on their belly, will reflexively turn their head to their side. Their arm and leg will go out, and they actually are creating that airway. So now in the bucket, we're going to put fear, and we're going to put that the baby never gets the opportunity to ever lay on their belly. Now, if you have a baby and you go, well, I put my baby down and they don't reflexively turn their head, that's a red flag. So these are also markers of what I would tell you why you need to get your child a developmental assessment so that you can understand why and not just think, well, this is what my baby does. Babies don't have that cognitive ability yet to make that kind of definitive decision. Now, in the case of what connects the dot to a C-section, maybe this baby is colicky. Maybe this baby is chronically spitting up. Maybe as a mother, you've tried so many different formulas that you just don't know what to do. So now we've got the maturation of the gut being disrupted. And part of your immune system is in your gut. So if it isn't getting the right input, you're not going to get the right output. Now, let's say because this child is always fussy, it never gets the opportunity to really get on the ground and move around. That is so important. Your baby should enjoy being on the floor. Your baby should want to explore. And lots of times new mommies don't want their babies on the floor. They're afraid they're going to get something in their mouth. They're going to get dirty or whatever. But you know what? This is how we build our immune system. Now, you have to keep the area safe so that your child doesn't put something in their mouth that could be a problem. But the point is, babies should be on the floor. So if your baby is already demonstrating some red flags, and then let's say there is now either an immune issue, which I'll really pick up in the next podcast, but let's say there's a trauma. Let's say something happens by accident, the baby has an injury. And now you start to explore the outcome of what happened to that baby. And now there's a possibility that one of the special senses could be the eyes, could be the ears. That would be the two most common areas that could have experienced an injury. And you start to go down a path, and the information that you receive is that there is a problem, but there's nothing anybody can do about it. Now this child keeps getting older, and there is obvious developmental delays. There is lack of coordination. There's even moodiness. There's pushback. That is always a red flag. Children should always go towards all the things that children should be doing. Children should want to run around. Children should want to spin like crazy. Children want to roll down hills. Children want to jump on a trampoline. Children want to wrestle with their brother or their sister. Children want to ride bicycles. Children want to be in team sports. If you don't see your child going into that direction, that is a red flag. Now, the pearl of this is the time, the age that you ultimately find out, wow, maybe there is something else that can be done. And now this child is 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. But the number of years that have been going on, and this isn't to fault any parent. This is to fault our system that we do not discuss development like we should. And this is one of the reasons why I have developed an app. And I know I keep saying this at the end of every podcast, but the last few pieces are being cleaned up, and I'm so excited to get it out there, because you've got to know what your child should be doing at a certain age. And when the CDC decided to make everything later, that is a huge problem. That is going to create a greater population of children with developmental delay. And that's why I speak out, because the information that the CDC changed everything to is wrong. It matters when your child lays on their belly, starts to babble, starts to crawl, how long they crawl, when they get up, when they start to walk. And it also matters, what does the posture look like? If this child did not acquire the correct posture in crawling, I still hear parents tell me, well, my child crawled, but they had a really funny crawl. They dragged one side. That's a red flag. Well, my child scooted on their bottom. That's a red flag. My child walked on their hands and feet. That is a red flag. Now, most of the time, the child looks happy, and there's no other signal that might be telling you this is a red flag. But the mechanics of how we do things matters. Let's just mention crawling for a second. Before the child begins to crawl, this is the season that you're laying down all the specialty centers of your brain that you will use for the rest of your life. And then they're organized from the right side of the brain being the big picture of function, and the left side of the brain being the detail of function, and you are designed to use both sides. Lots of times when I get parents that tell me, My child's in the gifted program. I'll take a look at their lower extremities, and most of the time you can see they're not adapting in gravity. So they're actually heavy on the left and not on the right. There's not the right balance between both sides of the brain. The left side of the brain is your intellectual quotient. The right side of your brain is your emotional quotient. If we don't get the opportunity to crawl, and crawling should go on for 6 months on your hands and knees, this, like the care plan idea, this is the innate design of the body that it takes 6 months to coordinate the function of both sides of the brain so that when you look at something, it doesn't matter which way you go first. You could go detail to big picture. You could go big picture to detail. But if you aren't able to do that, many times that's what's in the history. My child didn't crawl, or my child had a funky crawl, or my child didn't crawl long enough. And when they tell me that my child walked at 10 months, I know you didn't crawl long enough. That's what it means. It doesn't mean that my child did everything early and that's fantastic. No, it literally means that your child didn't get enough time to put those pieces together. One of the activities that we do here, we use what's called a neurosensory integrator board. And I love doing this work with the kids because under the visual motor, we do what's called a geo board. And it is a box and it's got five rows of five dots. And then there's some type of abstract picture connecting the dots, and they're all different. And so I practice with the children, especially my school age kids, to see, do you have the fluidity to go to both sides of your brain? So we start off training going, I want you to look at the picture and I want you to tell me what's the big idea in that picture. Do you see with your visual part of your brain, do you see a picture? And sometimes they get it, sometimes they don't. And I don't really care what they see. It's okay that we all see something different, but I want to see, can you do that? So for example, I asked a boy the other day, and it, to me, it looked like a telescope. So just kind of picture that in your mind. And then I said to him, okay, what's the big picture in that? And he said, a meteor. And I go, oh, that's really cool. I go, now, what's the detail that you have to look at in order to reproduce that picture with your memory in the box beside it? So a box appears, it shows you the picture, then it disappears, and you have to go draw it. And we give them 2, 3, 4 seconds, depending upon where they are in the program. So he got it in 2 tries. So when we talked about the detail, he really wasn't sure what I was talking about. So I explained, well, see, there's like a square and then there's like a cone that's creating the picture. So it took him 2 tries and he got it. The next one, it was very interesting because what he started with, I go, what's the big picture? He started telling me the detail. And so my team member was there and I was training them too. And I said, what did he focus on? She goes, the detail. So this is what I mean. If we don't have this cognitive fluidity in our brain that started from a mechanical practice, how can we expect our kids to focus? How can we expect our kids to get it? So when you come to somebody like me, I have to look at all those pieces. I have to look at how your brain got wired up. My famous saying, when you come into this world, you are fully formed, but you are not fully functioning. You're in your brainstem. And it is your experience as a child, as a baby, as a toddler, that literally begins to turn on the brain, brainstem, midbrain, higher brain. I have to look at all of those pieces. I have to see what's in your bucket. I have to see, did your bucket tip? And sometimes we have to also bring in other support devices in order to help this child see, hear, heal their gut, feed their brain, in order for them to be able to go forward. So give your child a chance. Give your child time to rewire. Sometimes we're very fortunate and we can have just a few little dominoes that we've got to put back in place. And then we can get everything moving forward. Sometimes it's tougher cases and they take more time. So if you're in the middle of a program and you are seeing changes, stay with it. If you're not seeing changes, find a new program. Reach out to me. I always offer a complimentary consultation. You can go right over to the website. Under the eSchool tab, there's a button that says Ask Dr. Laura, and you and I can have a conversation. I believe when I am working with a child, I have to be available for the parents. I have to help them. I have to help them understand what's going on. But we have to partner. This cannot be all me, and it cannot be all you. We have to work the process together. And if we work the process together, change is inevitable because of neuroplasticity. So honor your provider, follow what they say. And if you have questions, ask them. And if it's a money thing, I have parents all the time go, I want to stay, but this is hard for me financially. I have always made allowances for parents and families. Don't just pull the child out before the process has had a chance to fire and wire together. Thanks for tuning in today. It's a big day for me, so I'm going to skedaddle church. I'm actually becoming a member of the Church of the Apostle, and today is my day to make that declaration, and I'm very excited. Okay, so make sure you go over to the website, and if you have a question, reach out. Preview our Jumpstart program, our parent membership, and our professional development membership. We have a new idea of allowing you to dip your toe in. Be sure and go and preview that information. And if you want to reach out, never hesitate to do that. Be blessed. Thanks for listening. I hope today's lesson will help you or someone you love. Do you have a question or just really want to talk to somebody about brains? Connect with me over on Facebook or Instagram at Connect My Brain. Looking to understand and optimize your particular brain? Check out connectmybrain.com for course information and resources. A special thanks to Marcy Page for producing this episode. See you next class.